The following program is sponsored by America's Healthcare Advocate.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is America's Healthcare Advocate Show.
Hello, America. Welcome to America's Healthcare Advocate Show.
Separating fact from fiction.
We're going to repeal it and replace it. And it'll be great healthcare for much less money.
You can have the benefits that were promised to them without any change whatsoever. But if we keep kicking the can down the road, keep digging the hole deeper, burying that deficit more, that's much harder to keep that kind of a commitment.
Broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. Susan's calling from Kansas City, Missouri. Marcia from Pittsburgh. My very special guest today, Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. Welcome back, Grace Marie.
Well, Carrie, it's a pleasure to be with you. And I do have to say, you are the most knowledgeable about health policy. Just superlative.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, America's healthcare advocate, Carrie Hall.
Hello, America. Welcome to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. Our producer, Mr. Mark Groves. I'm your host, Carrie Hall. This is your show, America. Thank you for joining us and making us one of the most listened to talk shows across the country. If you want to follow us on Facebook, go to Carrie Hall. That's all you got to do is put my name in there, C-A-R-Y Hall, H-A-L-L. Or you can go to our website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. These broadcasts are posted up there. So if you want to listen to one or tell a friend about one or just get some information on something, because we do, obviously, as you know, many, many shows on many, many topics. So also, if you want to send me an email, if you have questions or on health insurance or any other issues, go to the website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. Click on the button and send me an email. Or you can call 877-385-2224. 877-385-2224. Operators are standing by. They will take your calls anywhere in the United States, including the folks in Guam. By the way, a bit of news a lot lately, haven't they? The folks in Guam, we actually got a call from there a couple of months ago, so that's why I mentioned that. 877-385-2224. I'm not taking calls on the air, but you leave a message and we will get back to you right after the broadcast. So the show today is a show I have been waiting a long time to do as we watch the pinheads in Washington wither and wilt and squirm and try to decide what they were going to do or they weren't going to do with Obamacare. So here's what I'm going to do today. This is not going to be a political show. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through and I'm going to tell you exactly what is going on. I'm going to refresh people's memory about what has gone on. And then I'm going to talk about the practical applications of that. So here's how we're going to do it. First, I'm going to take you through how we got where we are, what happened in Washington, and what's that all about. Then I'm going to move to what's going to happen to people in the individual marketplace, those with a subsidy and those without a subsidy that are on ACA Obamacare. When I finish with that, I'll go to the employer side of the equation, and I'll talk about what's going to happen with employer-sponsored healthcare. So if you're a group under 50, over 50, over 100, I'll talk about options. I'll talk about what's available there and how that can work. After we finish all of that in the last segment, then I'm going to talk about a couple of other interesting topics. Number one, I'm going to talk about how the sauce for the goose is not sauce for the gander when it comes to the people in Washington, in the House and the Senate, and how they're exempted from the rest of the rules and regulations that the rest of us who buy health insurance through the exchange or off the exchange that are ACA plans, what the difference is between their plan and our plan, and how is it that they have something completely different that nobody else in the country has? This would be for our senators, our House of Representative members, and all of their staffs. You'll be very surprised to hear the special program that they have. But then they're special people, so that's probably got a lot to do with it. I'm also going to talk about the current hysteria over let's just move to single payer. So I'm going to give you some prime examples of single payer systems and how they work. And then you folks can decide if you think this is something that makes a lot of sense and you'd like to see happen in this country. So those are the topics. That's what we're going to do in the show today. Once again, if you do have questions for me, 877-385-2224. That is the phone number anywhere in the United States. We're happy to have you call in. Operators are standing by. They will take your call, and we will get back to you after the broadcast. You can also go to the website, America's healthcareadvocate.com, americashealthcareadvocate.com, and send me an email. By the way, we are posting videos up there and on my Facebook page and on YouTube now on a host of topics. I just saw the first one today done on Medicare. They're short pieces, 30 seconds, minute and a half, depending on what video it is, but they give you some clear insight into these various issues like individual health insurance, Medicare, employer-sponsored health care, those kinds of things. So those will soon be up on the website, and we hope you're going to find those helpful and informative. Sometimes watching a video is a little better than trying to read a blog or something else. So let's start with who is responsible for the current situation with Obamacare. Remember what I said when I started this segment. This isn't going to be political, but I'm going to lay it out so you have a clear understanding. The first thing I want to do is explain the president's responsibility here. He has none. I'm going to repeat that. He has none. Whether you like him, dislike him, hate him, whatever the case may be, okay, nothing has changed. This is what you need to understand. Nothing has changed with Obamacare. Not one iota of the rules, the regulations, the reimbursement, anything has changed. There's been a lot of talk. He rules by Twitter, so there's been a lot of tweets and other discussions. But from an actual standpoint of what's happened, what has President Trump done to change Obamacare? The answer is nothing. He's made lots of threats, but he's done absolutely nothing. Reimbursements haven't been cut off. Nothing has happened as that he is responsible for at this time. So let's get that out of the way. Remember what I said? I don't care whether you like him, hate him, love him, whatever the case may be. The facts are the facts. He has not implemented one thing yet, one piece of legislation or executive order that actually changes anything. He did sign an executive order that gave Secretary Price of Health and Human Services certain latitude, but even Price hasn't done anything. Okay, so nothing has happened yet. They're waiting on the legislative process. So that's where we're at with the executive branch of government. Let's move to the folks in the House of Representatives. After a long, painful process, the House of Representatives, under the leadership of Paul Ryan and some other folks, came up with a bill. It's a compromise bill, but it's a start. And they got their piece of legislation done. As you know, the president had him in the Rose Garden, and they had a ceremony and said, "This is it. We're starting, and now we're going to go to the Senate." And that's where things came to a screaming halt, okay? Because Mitch McConnell couldn't get it done. Mitch McConnell couldn't get it done. Ms. Collins, Ms. Murkowski, and Mr. McCain killed any chance of repeal, replace, fix, or do anything with Obamacare and left it the same as it is now and then went home, okay? Now, what I want to point out here is these people are the ones that are singularly responsible for nothing happening with this at this point in time. Mitch McConnell made some comments not so long ago in front of a group in Kentucky where he talked about the president being too optimistic and not understanding the process. I'm going to go back to Mr. McConnell's words in November, December, January, and February, where he repeatedly said, "The first thing we will do on the agenda is to repeal and replace Obamacare. I'm going to get it done. We're going to make it happen. We've got the votes. We can make it happen." Well, guess what? That didn't quite work out, okay? They didn't get it done because of the infighting, the political backbiting, and all the rest of the garbage that goes on in Washington, D.C. So instead of putting the people first, the people that are being affected by this and are going to be affected by it, they took care of themselves first. They were concerned more about their political careers and other issues than they were about doing the right thing for this country. So that lies right at the feet of the Senate Republicans. There's nobody else is responsible for that, okay? That's their baby. They could have passed this if they would have wanted to. We were one vote short, and that was John McCain's vote when he put a dagger through the heart of that particular bill called the Skinny Bill that then would have gone to the Reconciliation Committee, and we would have had a piece of legislation that would have at least begun the process. No, it wasn't perfect. No, it wasn't everything we wanted, but at least the process would have gotten started. Now we have nothing, okay? And these are the people, in my opinion, that are 100% responsible for that. So when I come back after the break, we'll talk about how did we get to this. I'm going to open up with that and why is this thing such a mess right now? I've covered this topic before, but we're going to shift gears when I come back. We're going to talk about who put this in place. What's the status of it? and why are we where we are? And then we'll chat a little bit about what can be done to fix it. Because this, you know, as much as people want to make you think this is rocket science, it's really not, folks. And there are carriers coming into the markets to replace carriers that are pulling out. We'll talk about that in some specific instances where that's happening. And there is no need to panic yet. Okay, lemmings to the sea, the sky isn't falling, and we don't have to all imitate Chicken Little, because as things stand today, okay, there will be health insurance for Obamacare next year. It's going to be a little different in some markets, and we'll talk about that. But again, when I come back from the break, I'll go through how we got to where we are today, and then we'll start talking about what the alternatives are for people that are in the individual health insurance market on ACA, or otherwise lovingly known as Obamacare, part of the Unaffordable or Affordable Care Act, depending on how you care to characterize it. So I'll come back from the break. We'll chat some more. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting on the HIU Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. You can call us at 877-385-2224 if you have questions, or online at americashealthcareadvocate.com. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on the repeal and replace of Obamacare. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. Here on the HIE Radio Network, you can find out more about us by going to our website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. The podcasts are downloaded there if you want to listen to a podcast or tell somebody about it, a friend, whatever. We're also on SoundCloud, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio. So there are all kinds of places where you can find us. And you can obviously listen live, just like you're doing now. The website, americashealthcareadvocate.com, if you want to contact us or send me an email, if you've got a group or an individual or you're on chronologically challenged, looking at Medicare issues, whatever the case may be, we can help you. And by the way, I am a broker, 19 years as a broker consultant. I was at an event a couple of months ago, sitting at a table. It was actually the Pareto Contrarian Re Conference, and I had two clients there. And on one side of the other client, a gentleman recognized me from the radio show, and he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm a broker consultant." He said, "Oh, I didn't know that, but I listen to your show all the time." So I thought I would clarify that in case any of you out there didn't know. I really am a licensed certified health insurance broker and consultant, and we do everything from large group to individual health insurance to Medicare. 877-385-2224 is the number. If you have questions, want help, call us. I don't care where you are in the country. We're happy to help you. All right, let's get back to the state of the nation today and how we got here. So we covered the president. We covered the Republicans who dropped the ball and didn't do what they said they were going to do, which I think they're going to pay a price for. And now that brings us to how we got here. And that would be the folks on the Democrat side of the aisle who brought us Obamacare. And there have been a lot of people helped by this plan. Don't misunderstand that. There are almost 12 million people out there that are on these ACA plans with subsidies that they make a big difference for. So the intent here was good. But unfortunately, as they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So let's talk about how we got to that road. The way this thing was designed, and I've talked about this before, but I want to reiterate it. The way it was designed was you were going to get all the young people to sign up. They were going to pay premiums, and they were going to have either very few claims or no claims. Because, hey, if you're under 35, you don't do a lot of things with a doctor. In typical case, the claims ratios versus the premiums are very low, and it's profitable to write young people on health insurance. Then we switch gears, and we go to those 40, 45, 50, 55, up to 60 before they get to Medicare, 64. Okay, well, that's where the majority of the claims and people with illnesses are, because as you age, I'm chronologically challenged, I can speak to that. As you age, you have a tendency to have more medical issues. Well, guess what? The millennials didn't get the memo, okay? So 11.2 million of them are sitting on the sidelines, and they will not sign up for health insurance. If they did, remember what I said? This isn't rocket science. If they did, the books would balance, all right? And you would have enough premium coming in to cover the claims losses. And instead of carriers bailing out of this thing left and right, you would have had a stable marketplace. But that's not what happened. And the reason was because this was never designed properly. It wasn't implemented the way it should have been. And it's been gerrymandered around. And the Republicans have some responsibility on this part of it, too, because dear Senator Marco Rubio, a number of years ago, put a poison pill in one of the Senate bills that pulled back one of the three reimbursement corridors for the insurance carriers. I know this is a little complicated, but let me explain. There was a certain guarantee given to the carriers that if they lost money, they'd get a certain amount of it back. Well, in one of the appropriations bills, Marco Rubio put an amendment in there that killed one of those corridors. So the losses got significantly higher. So that lies with him. Okay, but the original design was never designed the way it should have been. What should have happened is this. Number one, subsidies are fine. That makes sense. Okay, but they should have been designed differently than they were. For instance, if you make less than $12,000 a year, you won't believe this, but you do not qualify for an Obamacare subsidy. You have to make $12,000 to get a health insurance policy. So what happens to those underneath $12,000? They go on Medicaid. Okay, it doesn't. They don't get help. Okay, then it's capped out at $44,000, and the subsidies don't go past that, which is fine. But the problem with the whole system is that, again, the way the books were going to balance is that the young folks were going to sign up. They were going to have very few claims. They were going to pay in their money. The older folks who did sign up and flocked to the plan in droves, okay, ran the claims numbers up, but the books didn't balance because the young folks didn't come in. Hence, what happened is you have carriers pulling out all over the country. So here in Kansas City, our biggest carrier, the hometown carrier, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, after losing over $100 million on ACA Obamacare, they hung in there for 4 years, pulled out. I said, that's it. We can't keep doing this. We lost $30 million last year. We're done. Okay. The same thing happened in Nevada. The same thing happened in Iowa. The same thing happened in Nebraska. It's happening across the country, okay, where carriers are pulling out. You've seen Aetna do it. You've seen United do it. Humana is only in certain markets. And as things stand today, we don't know who of those carriers will be coming back into the marketplace, if any. I can tell you this much, the Blue Cross plans will not be crossing back over that bridge in areas they've pulled out of. At least that's what I'm being told. So that's the result of a host of different things. One, bad design, because if you're going to do this, what you should have done was put a penalty big enough in place that the young people will go, I'm not going to pay that penalty. I'll go buy the health insurance. Well, the penalty is $695. If the premium's $2,400, you don't have to be a math major to figure out how many six packs of beer or car payments is that if you're 24 years old? So that's what happened, right? That's where we are today. The people responsible for that are the Democrat Party and President Obama. That's how we got there, okay? It's not political. It's just the facts, okay? Badly designed, badly implemented, okay, with people that didn't know beans about health insurance, starting with Kathleen Sebelius, the former governor of the state of Kansas, who implemented this. Remember the famous website and all the things that they put in place that crashed and burned when this first came out. So it's been nothing but problems, and we've had nothing but problems with it in enrolling people. And we've got over 3,000 people on these plans in our agency across the country. So that's the state of the union today in terms of where we are. Okay, again, as I said, this is not a political statement I'm making here. What I'm doing is I'm giving you the facts, because you don't get the facts when you listen to the media. This gets skewed six ways from Sunday, okay? The people that are responsible right now are the Republicans in the Senate and the Democrats in the House and the Senate and the former president, because they're the ones that either put this in place or didn't fix it after they committed to do it. The House of Representatives and President Trump don't have a responsibility here, because the House of Representatives followed through on the Republican side and got done what needed to be done. And President Trump, and I'll reiterate this and I'll say it again, whether you like him, hate him, or neutral, whatever the case may be, he has done nothing to change Obamacare ACA as we speak today. I'm not telling you that won't happen. He's made all kinds of threats, but right now, nothing has happened. Okay. When I come back from the break, I'm going to take you through the solutions. I'm going to talk about what you can do if you're one of those people with individual health insurance. We'll then roll into the employer side. And then in the fourth segment, we'll talk about why the people in Washington are exempt from what they make us do when they pass the laws and they don't have to do it. And then we'll talk a little bit about what a single-payer system would look like if one were implemented. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HI Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. If you want to contact us, 877-385-2224, or online at americashealthcareadvocate.com. Stay tuned. I'll be back with the solutions to Obamacare. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. Here on the HI Radio Network, you can find out more about us by visiting our website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. If you have questions, need help, if you're an employer, if you're an individual, human resource director, whatever the case may be, we're happy to help you. americashealthcareadvocate.com. Go up there and send me an email or a contact sheet, and we'll get back to you. Or call 877-385-2224. We are happy to help you anywhere in the country with any of those items I just mentioned regarding health insurance. That is what we do. I am a 19-year broker, agent, consultant, and that's what we do. Large case, small case, individual. We've been doing this for a long time. All right, so let's talk about your in the individual market. So let me give a little history here. I started out, my wife and I started this agency, Lauren, writing individual health insurance. I've never walked away from that market. We have never, at Benefits by Design, not written individual health insurance. And that's not going to change this year, and I'll tell you why. Okay? Because even though there are companies pulling out, like in Kansas City, unfortunately, we lost Blue Cross, there are carriers coming in the marketplace. We are extremely fortunate here and in that a company called Centene out of St. Louis, Missouri, a Fortune 500 company that specializes in Medicaid and this individual health insurance market, and they've done very well with it. They're traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They've got a great reputation, and we now are contracted with them as brokers agents, and we will be writing Centene health insurance policies both in Kansas and Missouri. But let's talk about who are the people that are affected by this thing right now, and all the cancellation letters that have gone out, all the huge premium increases last year, 40%. In some cases here in Kansas and Missouri, 119% in Arizona. I can go down the list. You all know. You've seen the stories last year and heard all about it. So here's the deal. If you got a subsidy, you probably really didn't give a damn because it covered 90% of the cost regardless of, in a lot of cases, regardless of what the premium was. So if the premium went up, your subsidy went up, and subsequently, it was covered or paid for. So folks that got a subsidy really have not had a bad time with this because most of it's been covered by the increases they get every year to cover in the subsidy to cover the increase in premium. Here's who's really hurt. Those people in the middle class who make more than $44,000 a year and don't get a subsidy. So you're self-employed. You're a painter. You're self-employed. You're a photographer. You're a wedding photographer. You're self-employed. Whatever. You run a food truck. Whatever it is you do. You don't have a group health insurance policy. Well, you're getting slammed. You got hit with a 40%. We've got clients paying, you're not going to believe this, but it's true, $3,000 a month for a family of five. Okay? That's couples. $1,300, $1,400, $1,500, $1,700 a month, people over 50, okay? So those are the people that are getting killed and slammed with this thing, okay? And I'm hoping this year, in this market at least, with the Centene folks coming in, that we're going to see those premiums come down significantly. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't know because we haven't seen the plans released yet, but they do provide, the Centene folks do, a good silver plan, and a bronze plan, and we're hoping that we're going to have good coverage. So here's the good news. Kansas City, where this broadcast originates from, one of our 140-some markets around the country, but my hometown, we're going to have Centene in here. In Nevada, Centene is going to be in there. I believe they're going to be in Ohio, if I remember this correctly. I'm doing it from memory. But I don't know about the rest of the country. I know they're going to be at least the way things stand now, we should have one carrier in every market. There's not going to be much competition. That's been gone since this thing was passed, since Obamacare ACA was passed. But there will be coverage from what I can see in place now. Now, you know, we have been getting deluged with phone calls from people that got cancellation letters from people out there in this audience mostly here in the Kansas City metro, where we write most of our individual health insurance. We've been getting deluged with phone calls. People got those cancellation letters, and they're scared to death. Well, we're not going to know specifically what the plan designs are, and you will not know until September 24th, because that's the drop-dead date that carriers have to file. So we don't think most of the carriers will get it done before then. So that's the news there. But I firmly believe there will be individual health insurance. I'm hoping against hope that it will be lower in cost and that it will make sense. And as soon as that happens, I'll be on the air talking about it and around the country and who's got what and how it's going to work. But you don't panic, because your policy's in place till December 31st, regardless of what, you know, whether you got a subsidy or don't have a subsidy. And there should be in every market in the country a replacement carrier by the time we get to open enrollment this year in November. A couple of things. Number one, if you are an employer and you've been, and we've been getting a lot of these, you were giving people money to go buy individual health insurance, I would strongly suggest that you look at changing that before we get to open enrollment. Because if, and this contradicts what I just said to some degree, but if there isn't a carrier in your marketplace, or if the carrier in your marketplace does what a lot of carriers did last year and raises the rates by 30 or 40% because of losses, and but stays in the market, that plan's going to be untenable, okay? And here's the other thing that happened last year, because it happened with a lot of people last year. If you have two people that are in your company, and in some states it can be a husband and wife, in some states it can't be. For instance, in Kansas, a husband and wife, as long as they're getting W-2s, can actually make up a two-person group. In Missouri, it has to be an employee. It cannot be a husband and wife situation. But back to what I was saying, we're getting a lot of calls from employers that had people on individual health insurance, were just giving them some money to help pay for it. Well, if it goes away or it goes up by 40%, okay, then how does that work? It doesn't. Okay, and moving to a small group plan right now, to be really frank with you, is probably going to be more cost effective. The benefits will certainly be better in almost all cases. Okay, and the networks will be better, because one of the things that has happened is carriers have narrowed the network to drive down the cost to try to keep it in line, and that's one of the problems we've had. So you will see that change. And I urge people that are employers out there, you've got 5 or 10 employees, and we've seen quite a few of those. If you're at all interested in a group health insurance plan, now is the time. What's going to happen with employer-sponsored health insurance? Let me get to that. Fully insured models, if they're under 50 lives, are subject to all the ACA regulations. Under 100 are subject to ACA regulations, but under 50 are community rated. If you're not grandfathered in, you're probably going to have some pretty significant increases. Grandfathered plans typically ran between 9% and 3%, and even in some cases had small decreases. But if you've got 5 employees or more, there are plans out there called Level Premium, partially self-funded. They are great plans. Trustmark, Starmark, IHC, National General, the carriers we write, they are medically underwritten, but about 90% of our clients make the grade, okay? And they can be as much as 30 or 40% less in cost. And at the end of the day, because you're putting money into a claims fund, you have a chance to get some of that money back. One thing I want to emphasize, they're called Level Premium for a reason. You have a fixed monthly amount, but they're written on a Department of Labor, ERISA platform, and they are not subject to a lot of the Obamacare regulations like the 5% tax and community rating and some of the other things. 5 lives or more, if you're interested in that kind of a plan, 877-385-2224. The next model and the model that really has taken off like crazy is the captive model. We are involved with the Pareto Contrarian Re, the largest captive in the country with over 300 employers and a 97% retention rate. The Berkeley Hamilton captive, another great captive, another good company, and East Coast Underwriters. What happens here is employers come together to buy health insurance, but they're buying it like Costco, Whole Foods, and Home Depot do. You're getting a group, in case of Pareto, 40 or 50,000 people or belly buttons that are represented. Therefore, negotiating pricing becomes a lot easier to do because you've got a lot of clout, okay? So those plans are called the captive plans. 50 is typically where the cutoff is on those, but East Coast actually has some, East Coast Underwriters has some plans below that. They are also not medically underwritten, but they're medically graded in terms of what of how the premium is set and the reimbursement premium on reinsurance and all that. It's a little, there are some moving parts to this. But if this at all sounds attractive to you because they are hugely successful with premium increases that are far below the marketplace, again, you know, we've got some videos we can send you. We're happy to introduce you to this. I'm going up to Michigan City, Indiana next week, where I will be talking to an employer there about moving off of a fully insured plan and moving over to one of these plans because he's been getting hit with 20% increases. So if you're interested in the captive plans, 877-385-2224 or online at americashealthcareadvocate.com or, as I said, 877-385-2224. We've got a couple of videos that the Pareto people do that give you a clear understanding of how these work. We also have some documents, newsletters, flyers, and other things we can send out to you. It's worth looking at. I will tell you this, of the people that have enrolled in these, all of our clients, no one has left any of these captives yet. So I'll be back after the break. We're going to wrap it up. I'm going to tell you why the Washington elite is exempt from Obamacare, the rules, regs, and costs. Unfortunately, we aren't. And I'm also going to talk about single payer and the great hue and cry we hear about now is time for single payer from people like Warren Buffett and some of those folks. So we'll be right back after the break. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting on the HIA Radio Network. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. If we can be of any help to you, 877-385-2224. If any of this stuff is resonating with you, if you're that employer, gee, that captive sounds interesting, or you're an employer, that level premium sounds interesting, or you're someone who's got the individual health insurance and you've got your cancellation letter, you're concerned, call us. We are happy to help you in any way that we can, 877-385-2224, or the website americashealthcareadvocate.com. My producer, Mr. Mark Groves, I'm the host, Kerry Hull, and we're going to now talk about two issues that I find most amusing. The first one, we're going to call Obamacare for Congress, and I'm going to refer here to an August 2nd piece in the Wall Street Journal that you will find fascinating. You may have heard President Trump in one of his many governed-by-tweet tweets, told the good folks in the House and the Senate that he was going to cancel their very special coverage under Obamacare. And you may wonder, what do you mean they have special coverage? Well, they do, because you see, they're different than the rest of us. Let me explain a little bit about how we got to that particular situation and tell you why they have something completely different and they're exempted. So what President Trump is alluding to is a 2009 amendment which Chuck Grassley of Iowa forced on congressional employees, making them obtain coverage from the Affordable Care Act. The Senate Finance Committee adopted the rule unanimously. And the reason they adopted it was because they knew it was political suicide if they didn't, okay? And everybody would be pointing at them going, well, you don't have Obamacare. You kept your plan in place, which their plan, Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, subsidizes 75% of the plan costs. Listen to that. 75% of the plan cost, and that is the crux of the thing, okay? So what happened was when the staffers and the congressmen and the senators found out they were going to lose their health insurance because they were going to be forced into Obamacare, they panicked, okay? Now, remember who passed this, people, okay? Let's go back. This was passed for the Democrats, but the Democrats didn't want to live with this. And of course, the Republicans were happy to go along because, hey, we're footing the bill, right? So what did they do? President Obama intervened in 2013 and went out to the Office of Personnel Management and issued a rule that would allow employer contributions to exchange plans, not that the Office of Personnel Management had legal authority to do that. One hilarious detail that the Office of Personnel Management certified, the House and the Senate, how did they do this? As small businesses. Do you believe this? So if you're a senator and you're running your office, or you're a congressional delegate like here in Kansas City, Emmanuel Cleaver, or you're Senator Claire McCaskill or Senator Roy Blunt, or any of the others, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or Republican, hey, you're a small business now. And you were certified as a small business because President Obama carved it out for you under the Office of Personnel Management. So guess what? Now they get 75% covered by us still, okay, because they've been classified small businesses. I find that rather amusing, don't you? And so they dodged the whole issue with, remember when I talked about middle class people making over $44,000 that don't get a subsidy? Well, you don't need a subsidy if the taxpayer is paying 75% of your premium, right? Okay, so that's how the elite class in Washington got out of having Obamacare, but could still say they had Obamacare. Because they don't. They have a special little plan because they're special people. And the president gave them a special exemption. And now, if you have an office in the Senate or an office in the House with a staff, you're a small business. So that's how that works. Okay. If you wondered about that, that's how it works. So here's an interesting little side note. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, circulated an idea to block the subsidies for members who earn at least $174,000 a year. Are you hearing what I just said? To block it for members that earn $174,000 a year. That means that those making $174,000 right now, or $173,000, or $165,000, or $100,000, or whatever, they still get the subsidy. Okay, they still get the subsidy. So congressmen making $174,000, they still get the subsidy. Okay. Amazing, isn't it? So, you know that old adage, what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander? Well, that's what President Trump is talking about when he says he's going to issue, and he can do this because remember, President Obama went to the Office of Personnel Management and issued a rule. Well, he can issue a rule too. So that's how that would work. You might want to write your congressman or senator and ask them how they plan to address that issue. All right. On to my last discussion here. Single-payer system. Everybody across the country, geniuses like Warren Buffett, Mark Zuckerberg, all the rest of them are saying what we need now is a single-payer system. First thing I would say to you is, do you really think Warren Buffett's going to go to a clinic under a single-payer system or a hospital under a single-payer system, or will he get on his corporate jet and fly to wherever he needs to go to get his surgery or care? And Mr. Zuckerberg, the same thing. Probably not, right? So here I thought this was interesting. The best example of single payer we have is the VA system. This comes again out of the Wall Street Journal. So we have in Washington, D.C., one of the largest VA hospitals in the country that services 100,000 people. The inspector general, Michael Meisel, took the extraordinary step of issuing an emergency order because the hospital was so dysfunctional upon his investigation. Here's what he found. 18 of 25 sterile storage areas for supplies at the D.C. facility were dirty. The hospital had no effective inventory system. Doctors and nurses had routinely canceled or delayed procedures for lack of supplies. In fact, they used outdated or recalled or expired products on patients so they could do the surgeries. 194 official reports of safety incidents since 2014, and vendors are leaving the VA hospital because they can't get paid. But the VA can't fire the guy in charge of that hospital, okay? This is Mr. Hawkins, right? Because that's the corrupt VA government-run system. So let me just tell you, okay, if you want to see what it's like, and I happen to know because I have a VA card in my wallet. I don't use it. I have a good health insurance plan with Blue Cross of Kansas City. I can afford it. And I'm not going to take the space for somebody that needs to go. But I have a VA card. I qualify, okay? But this system doesn't work. And it's a government-run, corrupt system filled with high-level bureaucrats that make big salaries, and the care does not get down to the patients. That's what a single-payer system is going to look like, folks. Just so you know, it's going to be run with the efficiency of the post office and the compassion of the IRS. And if that's what you want, then that I'm certain we'll probably wind up with it if that is, in fact, what the American people want. They may want it, and 18 months after they get it, I think they're probably going to change their mind. That wraps it up for today. Once again, if we can help you with anything, the phone number is 877-385-2224. The website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. Remember, friends, it's a funny thing about life. If you refuse to accept anything but the very best, you most often get it. Thank you for listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting here on the HIA Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. Goodbye, America.
The preceding program was sponsored by America's Healthcare Advocate.